Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that deftly looks into the future of the theatrical side of professional wrestling. I am one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the former Texas Chainsaw Massacre champion, Tyler Ward. Tyler, we've been gone all summer. We took our summer break. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. Even though I just lost my title, apparently, I am okay. I've had a good summer break. It reminded me this was like public school. Remember when you had the summers off?
Yeah.
Not man. A care in the world.
My parents just being like, "Are you sure you want to like stay inside all day? Do you want to go out and do anything else so that we can be alone?
Sure, you don't want to go outside? No, I like it right here.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was kind of a pool rat for a few years, so
that's fair. I feel like I got more into the outside world in my later teens, but yeah. There was a time it was just me and my PlayStation.
Yeah, PlayStation 1 or 2 at that point.
1 3? But 2 was my high school years.
Yeah, the memory card, man. Oh, it was the best. Yeah. Quick question, we took the summer off because we were both very busy. Extremely. And there's a lot of big things we kind of didn't talk about on the show. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre match is now my favorite one of these.
Where does that rank in your fictional Hollywood character cameos?
See, I was about to ask you that exact question. I think really? I have it like right above Chucky showing up.
Okay.
And right below like the Muppets hosting Raw and RoboCop in WCW. Ooh,
I'm gonna say I like RoboCop just for the you know, the memes of it is great.
Yeah,
I think the Muppet episode was genuinely great, but that's just, you know, the Muppets are genuinely great.
Yeah, so. That's not because of, like, it's just like the Muppets have a 100% hit rate. So
I would probably rank this just above the collective Hollywood zombies on Raw, that one episode where they ate The Miz.
I forgot that they ate The Miz.
I don't know if that was a Walking Dead promo. I'm just going to say it's collectively zombies.
It was a promo for a specific thing, but I can't remember what USA property it was. But see, that's the most amazing thing about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre match is that it seemed like just like, oh, like we're gonna be in a location, so let's make a funny gimmicky match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's any like, oh no, was it like the 20th or like the 40th anniversary of Texas Chainsaw Massacre? And that must be a Universal property,
right?
Or not a Universal, a Warner property.
Because
I was like,
right.
What is the synergy?
1983.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That sounds right.
I didn't understand the synergy of it at first, so I was very shocked when Leatherface came out.
Very, actually.
I kind of hope that he gets, you know, one or two more AEW reps. I would love like a little fake feud between Leatherface and Jeff Jarrett and Karen Jarrett for a little bit.
That would be
which
good.
Is not a statement I thought I would say.
No.
In 2023.
No, not in this, the year of our Lord 2023.
No. This is, you know, this is our long-awaited bold predictions episode.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to preview All In, get back on the wrestling horse. But it also kind of accidentally happened to be our 100th episode.
Yeah.
What to do about wrestling?
Also snuck up on us, huh?
It really did. So thank you, everybody, for sticking with us, for your favorite semi-regular wrestling podcast. And I hope that, you know, the dearth of our knowledge and insight is what sets it apart from the kind of like weekly just recap wrestling podcasts, of which there are plenty that we listen to.
I don't think many other wrestling podcasts are going to be using the term dearth, though. So that's what you come here for. That's
yeah,
what
you came here for dearth. man, now I'm like, should we make a wrestler named like Dearth, like Dearth McGillicuddy, who just uses vocab words?
I mean, I like it. Are we looking to like a, what was that fool's name? Who's the smart guy in WWE?
Matt Stryker?
No, he was the Miz double for a little bit.
Oh, Damian Sandow.
Damian like, Sandow.
Yeah, had like, you mean star of season 3 of I Think You Should Leave?
yeah.
Because he's in the best sketch of, or second best sketch of that season. Here's the actual question. Like, we're 100 episodes in, and we have covered a lot of like things in wrestling very granularly. I don't know if that's a real word. It's either a smart word or not a real word. Mm-hmm. How has 100 episodes of doing this changed the way that you've approached watching wrestling, Tyler?
I would say that I pay attention more when I'm watching wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, you know, more in an analytical sense of trying to observe wrestling through the window that we have dedicated ourselves from observing it through, more as a performance, how these performers, these athletes, these actors get up here and present these characters and these stories to us. So I think I've gotten better at observing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, you know, being the rabid fan of scripted violence, but
I think I have become less snarky about it.
Okay.
This.
Yeah.
I think I'm more interested in being like, ooh, I wonder why someone made this choice. Or like, I'm interested in what they are trying to accomplish here, rather
what
than
was
being
the plan?
Like, oh, that sucked. Yeah, yeah. And I think I'm, or maybe we started the show in a time where like things really changed in wrestling every year since we've been doing this in like a very rapid way after like 20 years of it being kind of done the same. And I feel like that has made me less snarky, because it is more like people are allowed to really take big swings and fail without being incredibly ridiculed as bad as it used to be. I mean, the wrestling, you know, Twitter and stuff is still pretty unnecessarily
still
critical.
Still a garbage train, but
yeah. But I think there is like, I think that there's way less people who get upset about being like, comedy wrestling isn't a thing that should exist, and like that used to be a pretty, not normal, but like a lot of people had that stance when we started this, and now I think people are more willing to embrace kind of the silly if it's going to be done in a creative or thought-provoking way. So
yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I think, I mean, that's, it's in part, again, like the landscape of professional wrestling has changed so drastically just in the last 3 to 4 years. And I know that's like a buzzword, like a catchy phrase that people will throw out a lot, but truly, for us people who have watched wrestling for 20 plus years now, like, it truly has, the business, the everything has evolved so much in the last 4 years. Like, it is staggering to think how different it is now to how it used to be.
Yeah.
And all for, it's seemingly all for the positive, all in great, good
ways.
Yeah,
I would say for the most part, I think it is, you know, I've seen people trying to make this argument recently of like, oh, is pro wrestling right now actually more buzzworthy? I think is what Nick Khan said. Like, it's more buzzworthy than it was during the Attitude Era. And
that's the question, right?
I don't know that it's more profitable or watched compared to then, just like based on like raw data. But it does feel like more different kinds of people are watching wrestling now than ever.
Yeah.
Because like everyone watched it in the Attitude Era, but everyone had a shaved head and baggy clothes.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone was mostly what was it, that the vital male 18 to 45
yeah,
demo?
Yeah, like, yeah. It was just every single person in that demo, and now right. I really feel like the demos have flattened out.
Yeah,
kind of across the board.
I agree. I mean, again, it's that's the age old question that people like to throw out now, and it's again, I can't give a correct answer, but it feels like wrestling nowadays is probably not as popular as it was in the Attitude Era, but it's a different kind of popular now, and it has different so many different groups of fans watching. I mean, maybe you're not seeing as many wrestling t-shirts and wrestling sweatshirts and stuff as you walk down the street, but there is so
in my
much
neighborhood
more
you
going
do
on. Well, yeah. I guess it depends what where you're frequenting, but
yeah, there's a staggering amount of Bullet Club OG and Gorillas of Destiny shirts in my neighborhood.
It really
is, yeah,
Bullet Club's is, holding down New York.
It's fascinating. Yeah, but yeah, wrestling is certainly brushing up with being more for everyone. Mm-hmm. And the like the pains of like making that happen, I feel like, is what we're seeing.
Yeah,
and it's all because of how informative and wide scoped our podcast is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
you guys didn't even know what a ladder match was. Come on.
Oh, I feel like we need to. I mean, this is like more of a recappy, precappy episode, but I would love to for our next few to really be back to. Let's pick some vocab words and get in there.
Absolutely.
But before that, let's do a precap. All In, Sunday, August 27th, this Sunday, AEW is running their largest show in terms of the size of the venue and tickets sold. This is All In 2, I guess, mm-hmm. Chronologically.
I will say I genuinely hate how they go back and forth now between All In and All Out and the
All
differences.
In and All Out is like a but we'll get into that in a second. Actually, I do want to hammer that point. But it's going to be emanating from the historic Wembley Stadium in London. If you are a soccer fan, you know how big of a deal Wembley Stadium is. Or if you've watched the second season of Ted Lasso, I think they do a big thing about Wembley in there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to run down the card, and we're going to try to properly rate and put into perspective the significance of this show. Because I feel like there's been a lot of corporate accolades thrown at it.
Yep.
And then it's easy to kind of be like, well, what is actually real here about how big this is? But let's start with the All In, All Out difference.
Yes.
Do you feel like they need to retire one of these? Do you think like it is like too similar of an aesthetic to like...
I think that when they made the original switch from All In to All Out, when it was when it was a AEW production and not just the independent show.
Yeah.
At first it kind of threw me off, but now I'm totally okay with it, and I kind of wish they stuck with that. I feel like All In was such a unique thing that happened where, you know, the stars aligned and all this other stuff to make such a unique individual one-time kind of show happen that I feel like that is All In and that should be All In.
Yeah.
And being that it is an AEW show that is, even if it's happening in Wembley and all these other accolades, like it should just be All Out. You can just have All Out from Wembley, you know?
Yeah. I think here's what I think the distinction is going to be from here on out. I think that like they were meant to be different things for a while, but I think now I think both of these will exist and you gotta like figure out what they are. And to me, All Out is a maybe the premier AEW pay-per-view, and it is known for its like casino branding now. Mm-hmm. Like that is what sets it apart. And I actually kind of think they should just run Las Vegas every year with that.
Don't they do
They do Chicago.
Double or Nothing for...
Oh, yeah. They do Double or Nothing. That Vegas? Also has a casino themed. Okay.
See, that's, well, that's my... And this is...
Yeah.
It is both not a problem and also just irks me a little bit is that I don't know what AEW show is the most important one.
Yeah.
Like WWE, like WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's WrestleMania. But like AEW has never openly said like, this is our WrestleMania. This is our big show. And I kind of love that because like you aren't putting one on a pedestal above the other, so you're inclined to tune into them equally. But it also just irks me a little bit. Like I just need to know.
I think it's totally valiant to start out being like they're all equal. And I think what I hoped is that like after a few years now that there would be one that kind of emerged as like, okay, this is the best one. But I think that like the critical reception has been like there isn't one that is like so critically more revered than the other
or
less. But I feel like there's one that they should pick as like their mainstream show. But they should definitely just only have one that is gambling themed from now on.
that we can agree on that. Yeah. Right?
But I feel like All In now to me doesn't like have with it the gambling connotation, even though that is like a poker term.
Yeah.
To me, the All In show feels like a specific time that the company does like a step up or takes a big swing to me now. Right? Because I mean, that was the initial idea of the independent show.
Yeah.
Was like Cody and the Bucks money that they are putting it all in to see if they could do it. And this feels like what is significant is AEW saying that we can now run not a basketball arena, but a stadium.
Yeah.
So like that, it feels like that same sort of like risk and gamble, which I realize is a gambling thing, but it does like, it feels like that is what is significant by calling a show All In.
Yes.
For them. Yes. And I think it'd be cool if it wasn't an annual event, but an event that happened any time that they did
something groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Something,
yeah. I don't know like what the next step would be. Or maybe just any time they do it.
So All In 3 has to be broadcast from the moon, I guess? Or...
I thought you were going to say like WrestleMania 3. It has to be a closed circuit from four different venues simultaneously. Like they did, but I think that was a huge disaster. Oh, no, that wasn't WrestleMania 3. That was WrestleMania 2, maybe. But do you think All In should be like a WrestleMania type show for them now?
I mean, again, if they're doing All In every year, I guess, but if you want to go by that standard of only for something groundbreaking, then maybe not, but.
There's a way that that All In seems very much not like WrestleMania to me, and it's that this doesn't feel like a super card to me. Do you feel that way, Tyler?
Oh, no. and I mean, like, again, in terms of this show feeling different from like normal shows AEW puts on and stuff like that, does it feel groundbreaking? Like that question. I think, and this is just like personal opinion, I think it was groundbreaking. It felt groundbreaking until they started announcing matches, and now it kind of just feels like a normal AEW show.
I would even like, I would say it feels similar in what I think the vibe is going to be to the Forbidden Door shows.
Okay.
But I think, take it one step further, where like the Forbidden Door feels like a almost out of canon, like celebration of like the exhibition of pro wrestling, right? That like what I think All In is going to be is like AEW doing like a party, being like a pro wrestling party where it's like they are expecting to have a lot of new eyeballs on it. And it's like, here is something that is representative of all of the different ways that we can be, rather than being like, here is our dream match. Is that, do you think that's accurate here?
Perhaps. I think that's definitely a better description of it. And I mean, again, like I don't, it's not that I think the card is like bad or anything. I think once again, they are suffering from the hype train getting too out of control. Like, yeah. When this was announced, I think too many people thought of like the possibilities, and they started booking these dream matches that,
yeah, maybe Sting retirement match.
Yeah, yeah, Sting's retirement match, Ospreay Omega 3, like all these things that I think, again, might have gotten a little out of hand. So when we do get this card, which is great, it's a perfectly good card. It's going to be really interesting. Some people felt let down a little bit, but
yeah.
I think the biggest one for me on this card, I think, and to be fair, this was entirely my fault. There was no reason for me to expect this, but I kind of expected it to be more of a Forbidden Door show where we were going to get mm-hmm. far more outside competitors from other promotions, you know?
Yeah, I think there's still possibility for that. I just don't think it will be announced.
Potentially, prediction. It's just that right now all we have is basically Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. So
yeah.
United Empire is the only outside elements we're getting at the point. At
and
this
that makes
moment.
Sense as like a like put the like book the British people mm-hmm. on this mm-hmm. show, and I guess you do have Soraya and you do have Tony. Well, Tony Storm's Australian, mm-hmm. as our Aussie Empire, but you have like some British leaning people. I'm shocked that House of Black is not on this show for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like there's still one more Dynamite before this show.
There is
one more Collision. So like, I mean, you could certainly get two more, three more matches on this card. It's only at 9 matches right now, which is short for an AEW card. I'm going to go ahead and read the card we have it right now. on the pre-show, Aussie Open is defending the Ring of Honor Tag Championship against MJF and Adam Cole. We are going to get FTR defending the AEW World Tag Championship against the Young Bucks.
Are we getting that?
I mean, it's listed, and they've made the challenge, and they've accepted.
All right.
I guess
if they have to openly address the Cash Wheeler situation.
Well, let's get into that then. Like, what is the Cash Wheeler situation as you see it right now? Have I missed something that's happened today? Kind of thing.
Oh, so Sarah knew a little bit more about it than I did because it showed up on Squared Circle or whatever a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
He got arrested. And I think he's out on bond now, so I think it's fine. But the bigger thing is he's about to leave the country, and I think
that's
a big problem for someone out on bond. So,
what did he get arrested for? I don't know how I missed this.
So it was. I'm not sure how bad it is or whatever. But basically, he was arrested, and the initial charges were like. Battery and like I think like assault with a deadly weapon or something like that, but it ultimately what with more information came out supposedly what it was like a road rage incident where like he was in traffic mm-hmm. or something and either someone yelled at him or something and he pulled a gun. I don't know what is correct, what is true here. The only thing that I know that he was arrested and charged with something, has posted bond, and that's it.
Okay. Well,
whether or not he's going to be allowed to leave the country, that's another question.
In theory, that's the strongest match on the card.
Right? I know.
I don't know. Maybe it becomes... Okay, let me finish reading these, and then let's come immediately back to this match.
Okay.
We have the four-way for the AEW Women's World Championship, Sheeta versus Storm versus Soraya versus Britt. We have a tag team coffin match with Darby Allin and Sting taking on Mogul Embassy, specifically AR Fox and Swerve Strickland. We have a 6-man tag match between the Golden Elite of Kota Ibushi, Kenny Omega, and Hangman Adam Page taking on Kenesuke Takeshita, and Bullet Club Gold, Juice Robinson, and Jay White. I can't speak. We have a Stadium Stampede match where Eddie Kingston, Orange Cassidy, The Best Friends, and Lucha Brothers are taking on Blackpool Combat Club and three people to be announced. We have a singles match between Will Ospreay and Chris Jericho, a singles match for the air quotes real world championship between CM Punk and Samoa Joe, and then the AEW championship main event of MJF versus Adam Cole.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so in a world where Cash Wheeler can't go, who makes the most sense to replace him in this match? Does it make the most sense to cancel it?
I think if he can't go, I think it's far more likely they just not they don't necessarily scrap the match, but I think they'll just have Young Bucks versus some other team. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be Dax Harwood and someone.
Yeah. I don't know who, like, maybe, like, Mark Briscoe makes sense.
Maybe.
I'm trying to think, like, I mean, the person who makes the most sense is CM Punk, and he's already doing something on this card, and I don't think they would want to do that.
If they did that, suddenly that is going to become the most exciting match.
Yeah, that would suddenly be the biggest match on the card. Man, that I did not know about that. I really hope he somehow gets cleared to travel.
The most recent update we have, the situation was described as a road rage type incident where Wheeler allegedly flashed a handgun at the alleged victim. A warrant was issued on July 28th, and on August 3rd, he filed a not guilty plea. His bond was set at $2,500. He was ordered to turn any weapons, blah, blah, blah. Later that day on AEW Rampage, it was advertised that we would hear from FTR on tonight's episode of Collision.
Yeah.
So maybe it was not stated whether the segments would be live or if they would be pre-taped, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. As of right now, it is still on, according to Wikipedia. And I feel like that is a pretty good
indicator
that he didn't come out in Collision and be like, well, I'm not going to be there.
Right,
I feel like
Sean
Spears maybe is a good fill-in if they have to do a fill-in. But I think I'm with you where like it wouldn't be worth halfway doing this match if they can't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you take that match off the card, what is what is the actual like marquee match on this card for you?
I mean, for me, 100% marquee match is MJF Adam Cole.
Okay.
I know we have not been recording for the entirety of this Odd Couple story they've been telling, but it has been incredible. I have loved every minute of this MJF Adam Cole thing, all of the little shorts where they're going to Outback Steakhouse and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like it's
Jump Zone.
It's been incredible.
And it's funny because I feel like 3 months ago or whenever when All In was announced, if you had told me and you then that MJF versus Adam Cole was the main event, I think we'd both be disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would not want that to be the thing that main events this biggest show, but like they really have caught lightning in a bottle storyline wise. Mm-hmm. And like it, I think we all thought this was going to end with Adam Cole swerving MJF, being like, this is my plan all along, is to make you believe in friendship and then do some MJF type shit to MJF.
Yeah.
But for that to happen, he has to win the title, right?
I don't know. See, I think the biggest swerve that they could do is the obvious one, where if MJF somehow retains the belt, but in a clean win, he gets a clean win on Adam Cole, and then you have Adam Cole turn heel on MJF, like,
yeah.
Oh man.
I'm less interested in a turn after a clean finish, I will
say,
than one in the middle of the match. But I guess like maybe is that why they are doing double duty in wrestling in the opening too? Like, what is that has to be there to progress the story of the
question is, do we think they're getting those tag belts off Aussie Open?
I don't,
because
okay, well, let's say like if they do get it, what does it look like?
Right. Well, I mean, there's so many options. I mean, the obvious answer is they don't get the tag belts because of some sort of miscommunication that leads mm-hmm. to them turning on each other in the main event, something like that. But I think what would be very interesting is if they win the tag belts and still turn on each other in the main event.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're still the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, though. Like,
yeah. It's, oh man, it is like, it is a thing that felt like there was a logical one conclusion to this storyline mm-hmm. with one of them swerving on the other.
Yeah.
And this pre-show match really does throw a wrench into that. And maybe it's a red herring. Maybe they just go out and lose and it's just like a normal match and it's fine. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, there's another part of this equation in the story, and it's Roderick Strong, right? Who's been getting more angry, and like Adam Cole keeps telling him, don't worry, I have this plan. Mm-hmm. And I know some internet sleuths found the thing where like he has been hugging MJF in a way where he makes the motion of a stab in the back when he hugs
right,
him,
yes,
which he's the, done the on fit, other people he's turned
fist.
On.
Yeah.
But maybe Roderick, I mean, I assume Roderick Strong would get involved in one way or not in the main event, but maybe you involve him in the tag team championship match to sew whatever the issue is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think, you know, this is going to both start and end the night. So
agreed. Yeah, I mean, that's the through line of the whole pay-per-view at that point. So.
Yeah. And like, okay. A question we glossed over was what needs to happen for this event to be labeled a success, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, it's estimated to have already broken the paid attendance record for a pro wrestling event because they legitimately sold 80,000 tickets. So is it like no matter what happens, it's a success, or do they need to have like a notable moment out of the storyline?
I mean, look, if you just want to be, you know, simplified about it, like it's already a success. Like,
yeah,
they have sold the tickets. They have filled the building. They said they were going to do it. By those standards, it is a success. Now, whether or not the crowd, the viewers at home are going to end the night feeling satisfied, it's we'll see. But again, I think they've padded this card enough with so many different kinds of matches that I almost feel like they can't go wrong, right? You're still getting all of the big names. Maybe not in the exact way you wanted to. Maybe we're not getting Ospreay Omega 3, but we're seeing Ospreay, we're seeing Omega, seeing Jericho, Punk, Samoa Joe, MJF, Adam Cole, all like the Bucks, everybody. They're on the card, so.
Yeah. man, here's what's also interesting is just looking at the middle of the card, which is very strong with mm-hmm. the Golden Elite Bullet Club tag, the Stadium Stampede match, which is going to be insane.
Yeah.
Ospreay Jericho and Punk Joe. I can see the winner of any of those matches also getting involved in the main event. I feel like, but specifically, I could see CM Punk getting involved.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I imagine he's going to retain the real world championship.
The real world championship.
And come up, which I'm shocked that, like, the person who should challenge Punk for the real world championship is The Miz, right?
It's Mike The Miz. Like,
yeah, star of the real world.
Miz needs to be posting on Twitter every hour on the hour about this.
About the real world championship. But, like, is it more likely that Punk actually shows up in the main event?
I think of the names we've talked about, I think Punk is at the top of that list, right? Because he has the history with MJF, specifically the world title going on. He has the real world championship, all that. So, I mean, he's at the top of my list. There's some other interesting names who could certainly show up. And maybe this one actually, I think, it's less, maybe not as high on that list, but I think Darby Allin is always a potential to show up in the MJF orbit, which mm-hmm. could be interesting. Yeah, so I guess we'll see.
Ricky Starks could as well.
Ooh, talking Ricky about Starks.
Pillars who don't have something on this card. Mm-hmm. Here's a question, not related to the main event. Who could possibly be the three guest wrestlers siding with the Blackpool Combat Club in this weird cluster stadium stampede show that we're going to have?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting one. I know that, of course, some names have been floated out already that are high potentials. Names mm-hmm. like Zack Sabre Jr., Shota. Yeah. So I think these are possibilities. I think it's more likely these three are going to be completely random in that they don't have connections with one another. Like, we're not getting a trio that's going to show up and help them. It's just going to be random guy, random guy, random guy. One that I'm hoping for that I think is, the name's been floated around a little bit, and I think it would just be wild is if we get a Chris Hero out there.
That one makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like if there was a world where at some point they wanted to bring Nigel McGuinness out of retirement to do a Daniel mm-hmm. Bryan thing here, that like this seems like the perfect safest place to put Nigel. And then you've got like two, and then if it's Chris Hero, you got two huge Ring of Honor people, and I feel like there's got to be a third, you know, Ring of Honor person out there. Maybe it is like John Moxley brings his friend, like in the way that we're like Chris Hero is Claudio's friend, right?
Yeah.
And John Moxley maybe brings his friend, and it's either Nick Gage or Shooter. That would make sense. I don't know who Wheeler Yuta's friend would be, but the other way that I've heard this going is some iteration of LAX.
Ooh, okay.
Specifically to be opposed to Eddie Kingston. And like the word is that whatever real rift that Ortiz and Santana had, that it seems like they have figured it out and are ready to be back as a unit again. So you do them and you do Homicide. Maybe that is the idea. I don't know how much England is like clamoring for an LAX reunion.
I bet they would get a pop. I mean, it's not probably not the same as like a Zack Sabre Jr. or Nigel McGuinness, but
yeah. Are those the two biggest British like free agents
that I think possibly... those would be the two biggest names that they could get for this specific thing.
Yeah. I agree with that. Do you think that there will be any non-advertised surprises on this show? I think like anything. Like, are we finally going to get Goldberg showing up in AEW?
Oh man, that would be wild. I think so for sure. I think they're going to lean into the Wembley thing, right? So
yeah.
And granted, most of this could be done just in the Stadium Stampede match, but like you know, have some sort of soccer tie-in. It's like,
I mean, anything. The Cons do own Fulham Football Club, so
there you go. There you go.
You can have a number of Fulham players show up.
So I think it's most likely that's definitely happening. I'm not sure about, because again, there's only 9 matches announced, and I'm pretty sure the last AEW pay-per-view had like 14 matches.
Yeah.
So like, well, there's definitely something that we have not been told about yet.
I feel like some more people are going to show up, but I feel like it would feel like a different type of AEW show to me if instead of having 14 matches, it had, you know, 10 matches, but 3 segments.
Yeah,
I think it would make it feel different. I think this is the kind of show.
God, I wish to do that honestly.
I think they will. I think we should end the All In preview and get to our bold predictions, because I have a bold prediction that relates to this show.
Alrighty.
So that's a good transition. into our annual tradition here at Much Ado About Wrestling. We're going to prognosticate the rest of the wrestling calendar through WrestleMania 40 and maybe even beyond. And I don't even feel like we need to recap the bold predictions we did last year. We'll do that as we go through. But it's to say, I think we didn't get a single one right last year in terms of our bold predictions.
I think you got a pretty big one.
Did I?
Towards the end for the most overact.
Oh, yes. I meant our literal, just like our five countdowns.
Our
I
shots think in the dark, right.
We
right.
literally went 0-10.
I think. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Vince McMahon did not enter the Royal Rumble.
He did not enter the Rumble, no. Tanahashi did not retire, thank God.
Although, it feels like maybe you can run that one back.
he should, but...
I guess I said Control Your Narrative will go out of business after a fan incident. I feel like, did I get half of that right?
They are currently out of business, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if there was an incident that caused it. I think the incident that caused it was Braun getting rehired by WWE.
Lack of interest. Great. Then let's dive into this year's predictions. And I will remind the audience of some of the ones we did in these like little predictions. Like that first being like, who will be a first-time world champion? Last year, you said MJF. I said Liv Morgan. We were both correct.
Well done.
This year, this seems like a much harder question.
Potentially. So I want to get some clarification on this first.
Yeah.
Are we saying world champion in terms of the 2 to 3 major promotions? A world champion in AEW, WWE, or New Japan? Are we not considering other world titles?
Let's consider that if you have an impact person who you think is going to be a world champion elsewhere or something like that.
Then I have two answers. My first answer is the easy one, and that being LA Knight.
Okay. Okay.
Who was Impact World Champion when the FKA Eli Drake. But... if we just want to consider on the bold sense of this person has never held a world championship in any promotion, I have a fun one.
Oh, I want to hear the fun one.
And hear me out here. I think there's a chance. I think that in the next year, we could see a world title on Dominic Mysterio.
You know what? I think you're right.
The most hated man in professional wrestling.
Do you see him taking it off of Seth Rollins?
It would have to be the world title. He's not getting Roman's belt. But maybe somehow we could get the World Heavyweight Championship onto Dominic Mysterio.
I mean, it wouldn't even take that much of a... I mean, like, Judgment Day as a collective are feuding with Seth Rollins right now.
Right.
It seems like that's going to continue for the time being. Like,
Finn had his shot at the belt. He didn't make it happen. Everything seems to be pointing towards Damian Priest cashing in his briefcase at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't get the job done either. So let's give Dominic a shot.
I'll fantasy book even one step further that, like, I feel like you could do some shenanigans with Damian Priest cashing it in to create a match and, you know, just like his storyline father, Eddie Guerrero, Dominic doing something tawdry
to slip in somehow and
do the pin. And I think that would be really fun.
I just want to book this now. What if you do a backstage promo where like he has Dominic hold the briefcase for him or something for a brief spell.
Yeah.
Just like, just hold this for me. And when Damian goes to cash it in, he like hands the briefcase over. They're like, he's cashing in. He has the match. He pins Seth and they think he's won. And then they open the briefcase and see the contract's not in it.
Yeah. I'm ready for something insane.
Man, there are so many possibilities. I love this.
And I don't think Dominic would even have to hold it for more than like a month. Serve its purpose by having just like slip in and get it.
Absolutely.
My bold prediction.
It's a little bit of a long shot, but I'm going to lock in Dominic for mine.
I think that's a good lock. My lock is very bold in that I think that no one will be a first-time world champion in any of the three major promotions this year.
Ooh, okay.
I think it's more likely that we're going to get all the same, that the people in WWE are going to be former either champions.
And yeah, repeat champions.
I think
champions.
AEW, it's the same thing. And I think that maybe New Japan, but I don't see who would win the title from Sonata and who wouldn't already have been a title holder.
Right, yeah. I mean,
there.
Naito.
I don't see anyone ready to do it. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I think that's a safer bet than we think.
Yeah. It may not be as bold as
years past. That's not bad. That's creative. That's a creative answer.
Speaking of probably not bold predictions, who is going to main event WrestleMania 40?
I'm going to go safe on this one, and I'm just going to say Roman and Cody.
Yeah, I think bet the house on it.
I think they're running
it back.
What I'm
going to say is what I think maybe will main event night one, and I think we'll get Bianca and Rhea Ripley on night one, maybe.
Yeah.
That's my prediction there. Last year we went with Roman and Rock and Roman versus Braun Breaker, and we got, you know, we had the right idea.
I mean we got half right. We knew we knew what was going on there.
Last year we incorrectly predicted that Alexa Bliss and Natalya would be in new companies.
Yeah.
Who are we gonna incorrectly predict is gonna be in a new company this year?
Again, so this one, I have a safe answer, and I have an interesting answer.
Sure.
So my safe answer would be Mercedes Moné going to AEW. It's already, like, it feels like that was already the plan, and had she not been injured, like, we would have seen it already. So that seems like the safe answer. The fun answer that I'm considering here, I'm not 100% sure about her contracts right now, but I think there's a possibility that we see Jade Cargill in the WWE.
Yeah. I think that is a good prediction. And here's a question for you, Tyler. Put on your WWE, like your William Regal hat.
Ooh, all right.
If they say go find some people to sign from elsewhere, it makes sense. Like, is Jade Cargill your number one person that you're saying that is someone from another company that would do well here?
I think so. I think if you look at it this way, I mean, like, Jade clearly already is someone who would excel, I think, in the WWE style a little more than the AEW one. Granted, like, she cut her teeth in the AEW one, and, like, she did great there. She had a historic reign and all that stuff. But, she really strikes me as the kind of athlete, the kind of performer who was built for the WWE system, right?
Yeah.
And given, like, her physique, like, her height, like, she's super tall, powerful. Yeah. Like, she could easily hop into that division and immediately be a contender against Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Charlotte, all of these massively strong women. Like, I think she fits in perfectly.
Yeah, she almost works as, like, what the Big Show would work in a capacity, that she could come in and be, like, make Charlotte and Bianca look small, which is hard to do. Mm-hmm. And, like, that is incredibly valuable, I feel like, for WWE. My one wrestler, same face, new place. You had someone come from AEW to WWE, and I'm going the other way.
Ooh.
I think that there is a person from WWE that will debut in AEW on Sunday.
Oh my, this is big.
And I think this person will answer a open challenge. I think that Luchasaurus will come out with his TNT championship around Christian Cage's shoulders.
Around Christian Cage's waist.
And Christian Cage will be like, we are challenging anyone willing to, like, come out and challenge him. And I think we will be treated to some generic music for Adam Copeland to premiere this Sunday. Formerly Edge. Whose contract is up?
Yep, with WWE. He had his last match.
Yeah.
Man, I think that, I mean, yes, that would be absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I guess my only question is, do you think there's any chance that Adam Copeland himself somehow has the rights to that Alter Bridge song and not WWE?
That would be great. I don't think so. Probably not.
But
they can make a mock track.
They could just pick a different Alter Bridge song.
Yeah. He can come out to like a Metallica song or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I like that one. This is
interesting to me now with the Cash Wheeler situation, because back when Edge and Christian had their, well, I guess one, because Edge is very close to them.
He's actually in real life. Very close with Cash Wheeler.
And man, maybe he should just be the replacement if Cash can't be there. Back when Edge and Christian had that podcast, they interviewed the Young Bucks a few times because they were like, this is the match that we wish we could do, but we're both retired. And they kept talking up wanting to do the Young Bucks versus the Old Fucks, as they put it. And I think that is appealing enough of a thing for Edge to sign on to.
Ooh.
Now. Yeah.
I like
who will be the most overact next year? I had said, who did I say? I said the Judgment Day, and you said Austin Theory. And I feel like we were both circling the drain there. I don't know. I think he had some hot times.
He had some hot moments, but he's clearly not the most overact. But honestly, I think Judgment Day is, you could
they're
argue
on their way.
That they are the most important thing in WWE right now. So
yeah.
Good on you.
They're trending up. who's going to be trending up by the end of this next year?
Yeah, this was a tough one.
Yeah.
I felt like there's your obvious answers, like your LA Knights, your, you know, characters like that. But you have to be careful with WWE in that the longevity of these things can go away in a night almost.
Yeah.
So
an LA Knight. Yeah.
And an LA Knight. And while I love LA Knight, and I think he's probably the best thing that they have going right now, in terms of what's the most over in a year from now, I'm kind of gambling on this, but I have a feeling that after this historic title run and however they end this and whatever they choose to do with him afterwards, I think this could be the year of Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
If they have him lose the belt in such a way, maybe give him a little bit of time off to heal and recover, and then bring him back maybe directly into the world title picture, something like that. I mean, I think this could really be the rocket strapped to that lethargic man.
I think that's a really good pick, because like this is they've legitimized the most illegitimate guy on their roster.
Exactly, right?
Now. Yeah. So this is the time to do it if they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going with someone on the WWE roster, and I think that this person is a charisma vacuum that has already been doing a lot with what they have, and I think is going to fill the kind of like the Miz role on the roster. I guess they have like alluded to them being so similar recently, but like I think Grayson Waller has the potential to like jump over the Miz and Austin Theory and the other kind of like mid-card heels by this time next year. I think he understands social media better than those people right now too. Mm-hmm. And he is more physically imposing than them.
True.
So I think Grayson Waller becomes the most over out of nowhere, or maybe makes the biggest leap to being over, I should say. Yeah, so that's what we got on the warm-up predictions, which means all we have time left to do is count down our five bold predictions, Tyler.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Starting at number five.
Number
do you want
five.
To go first, or would you like me to go first?
I can go first. I'll kick it off for
yes,
us.
Yes, please.
Now, if you have listened to this podcast before, specifically this episode, you know there's a way I like to do this, and I like to go from most likely to just bonkers.
Yeah.
So my most likely prediction Again, it's most likely for a reason. There's a strong possibility here, and I think it absolutely happened. I think in the next year we are going to see, well, correct, you are going to see your new United States champion, Logan Paul.
Yeah. I think that is a great, bold, but safe pick simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're going to continue to do big stuff with him.
You can give him a singles title. Obviously, it's probably not going to be the world championship. And
yeah,
Gunter's a little busy right now with his thing. So
yeah,
give him that U.S. belt.
I think that'd be good for the U.S. belt. Do you think we get a Gunther Logan Paul match at some point?
I mean, I can't rule it out. I would kind of like to see it again.
Yeah,
I am so confused about Logan Paul because he still seems to kind of suck as a person and yes. has a history of sucking as a person. But God damn, is he good at wrestling?
Right? Yeah, I love that. I love that as a prediction. And I feel like I would welcome a long U.S. title reign.
Yes.
By Logan Paul. My number five is also by far the most likely of my picks. It's just something I've not heard mentioned. Mm-hmm. The WrestleMania is going to be in Philly next year.
Yep.
So I think that the headliner of the WWE Hall of Fame class will be Paul Heyman.
Ooh, I like that.
He's not currently in. He deserves to go in as a manager and many other things for sure. And, you know, you would think they got to do something ECW related to induct some people in. And I just like a lot of those. There are problems with a lot of the ECW people who are not in right now. I think Raven sued the company multiple times trying to unionize. Yeah. Sabu is just not as like squeaky clean.
Mm-hmm.
Same with like Sandman. I guess maybe the Dudley, like maybe this is a time for the Dudleys to go in because I don't think they have. Yeah, but Paul Heyman seems like comfortable.
I mean, shoot, if you want to do it that way, you could just induct like major stars who were also in ECW at some point.
Yeah.
In which case, you have your Rey Mysterios, hell, your Stone Cold Steve Austins, if you want. But that if you add,
but they're both in.
Well, I mean, just like for like an ECW thing, but then you have try to differentiate between the two, and it just gets complicated. But
yeah, yeah. So I think Paul Heyman as a headliner,
I like it,
makes sense to me.
I like it.
Yeah. What's your number four?
Yes, my number four. So this one, again, it's a little on the safer bet, just in that it's.
We both have to be safer. We went 0-10 last year, Tyler. So.
Sometimes it pays to be a little safe in this. But I think it's something that could happen. I think it would be pretty big if it did happen. And I think everyone would love to see it. I'm hoping in the next year we will see, for the first time ever, as the tag team champions, the Best Friends.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Give those boys some belts. That's all I'm saying.
So far. Is the first thing you did when you got AEW Fight Forever, was it make them the tag team champions? Because I did. Yeah.
It was not, because I'm going to be honest, the tag team matches in that game suck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, tagging is hard, and like getting into the ring to break up a pin is hard.
Yeah, it is not efficient. But
I've really thoroughly enjoyed everything else in the game so far. They need to fix tag team matches, and they need to add cage matches. But I'm pretty happy with it so far.
Pretty happy.
Yeah. Best Friends for Tag Team Champions, I really like. I like that. My number four also deals with an AEW booking decision.
Ooh, okay.
I think AEW will book CM Punk defending his Real World Championship against Hangman Page before the end of the calendar year.
Really?
Yeah.
You think we are going to get a live televised match between those two fools?
I do. I think I feel like there will be a CM Punk versus someone in the orbit of the Elite match before the end of the year.
Yeah.
And this is the one that seems the most realistic to me, and that they've already worked programs together. I know that's the whole like thing that led to this.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, CM Punk has continued in storyline. Like, the only person he's mentioned by name other than saying is counterfeit Hangman, bucks yeah. is Hangman. And like,
which I
clearly was trying to start a program with his promo that he then apparently texted Hangman and apologized for. So, at least they're texting each other.
Yeah, I guess that's the other thing, because like it comes across very much that like the most real world heat between Punk and this group is with Hangman specifically. So it makes it seem like he would be the last one to do this, right? Yeah.
But well, I don't know. I guess like he's the only one who wasn't in the brawl out.
He wasn't in the brawl. That's correct. And like, and he's maybe we're getting worked here. Maybe the relationship is not as strained as we think it is, and they know that they can capitalize on this. So, all right. I think that's solid.
I think it's gonna happen.
Yeah. That's gonna be a huge match if that happens, man.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be stiff one way or the other.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What do you got for number three?
All right, we're starting to get a little outlandish here, but I'm okay with it. I like to throw in one of these, it seems, every year, just because I think it could be fun. I think in the next year we're going to see another superstar dip their toes into the world of Hollywood. What it's going to be in terms of whether it's a movie or a TV show cameo, what it be, I'm not sure. But I think the individual who is going to make that leap is going to be one Adam Cole, baby.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I think he's got all the tools, man. And I think, if anything, this MJF feud that they have had going on, I think it has displayed how incredible both of them are purely as just actors. The acting has been excellent. So I think he lends himself to being a easy cameo appearance on some TV show, side role in a movie, something like that.
Yeah. Here's what Adam Cole has going for him that every other wrestler turned actor doesn't have going for them, is that Adam Cole can be cast to look like a normal human being.
Yes.
In something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he could be just a normal guy.
Really leaves the window open. You're right. Yeah. Okay. And I like that.
Since MJF has already dipped his toes into Hollywood, he has the part in the Von Erichs movie coming up. I'm sure AEW is looking for that next person that they can dip into the Hollywood arena. And if they're not going to pull the trigger on Jack Perry, do it on Adam Cole.
Yeah, those are two really good people to pick. I think it's funny that every year you suggest a wrestler is going to join the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
And then this year Seth Rollins actually did, and that is not one of the ones that you predicted. My number three is really diving into the deep end immediately here. I think number three, the main event this year of Wrestle Kingdom will be a Stardom match.
Whoa.
I know they just finally had their first Stardom match on Wrestle Kingdom last year.
Okay, well, hold on. I think we need to clarify, main event of night one or night two?
It's more likely if I say night one. But
well, I mean, it's more likely for night one. But we do have the G1 just wrapped
that's
up,
true.
Night 01, and typically that does mean, I mean, they have gone against it before, of course. But typically it does mean they have locked their entry into the main event. But with two nights on now, I think this is still a possibility. You could have a Stardom match.
I'm going to go even bolder. I'm going to say it's going to be the last match of night two.
Wow. All right.
And it's more of like Stardom is continuing to hit critically and commercially. And like, people are very much being like, this is the best Stardom has ever been. And I feel like the main event picture in New Japan feels very stale to me right now. Earlier we were like, we can picture Sonata losing the title, but we can't see a new face that it would go to. I just don't see a singles match that they have left to do that they haven't already done
right
at Wrestle Kingdom before. You know, so I think there's an opportunity. Do start him in the main event.
Hey,
that's my number three.
I think that's a great choice.
Yeah,
we are getting a little out there. All right,
we're gonna get even further now. What is your number two?
My number two. It's not gonna sound too wild, but when you take it in context of a prediction I have already made earlier in this podcast. And also who this person is at their core, it's going to seem weird. I think in the next year, we are going to get an Orange Cassidy heel turn.
Oh.
And
wow, I guess this goes together with your number four or number five point.
Little bit. And so the interesting, the I think, and we've talked about it before, the really like weird, like interesting stretch part about this is I don't think anyone knows what that would look like.
Yeah.
Like how do you take a character like Orange Cassidy and turn it heel? Like do you can't make him more lethargic.
Yeah. Like, you can't make him care about everything.
Yeah. Like. I'm not sure even how they would do it, but I'm putting it down. Whatever they do, it's going to happen, and it's going to be the most exciting thing happening in wrestling.
Man, he would have to be, I don't know, he'd have to be lethargic to a point that he just, like, doesn't even, like, wrestle the match, really. Like, you know, like, for people to be, like, out on him.
Right?
Oh, man. Yeah. I would love, maybe he becomes just really straight-laced and just is like, I'm getting a 9-to-5, and he tries to wrestle and like win matches as fast as possible because he's not getting paid by the hour kind of thing.
Well, because I know like we've talked about it before. We spitballed ideas, and I think like the one that I came up with was if he's going to go heel, he just has to become like the most straight-laced, catch-as-catch-can shoot wrestler, boots, trunks, no knee pads.
Boring Cassidy.
Yeah. But we'll see what that looks like.
I would love to see what it is, even if it fails. I want to know what it looks like. My number two, also not very likely. AEW is going to give WWE permission to use a contracted wrestler, Dustin Rhodes, in the Royal Rumble as a final boss for Cody as he wins the Royal Rumble a second year in a row.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this prediction has layers. So
it's a multi-stage prediction. A lot needs to happen for it to be right, but I think that it will
not
be
not only
like,
is Cody winning the Rumble.
Yeah. I don't think that is that bold of a prediction.
No, I don't think
win
so
it a second time. But I think to finish the story, he's going to have to go through Dustin Rhodes as a part of that Royal Rumble to get there. And I don't think it will be because Dustin Rhodes has been released from AEW. I think it will be a
one-time agreed upon
thing.
Handshake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what I think is going to happen.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I don't know if there's anything else to say about that. It's just like bonkers.
It's not too out of the element. I think it's just because this has requirements. Like there are multiple things that have to happen.
It's not as bold if he just is like released or ends his contract, and then it's like, well, then of course Dustin is going to show up. So
yeah. Man. Yeah. All right.
Time for our number ones.
Time for the number ones. So I know I did just spend the last couple minutes talking up how the list gets wilder and wilder, and unfortunately I'm actually gonna kind of reel it back a little on this one.
This Tyler, one, do we have the same number one prediction?
This one is likely.
Okay,
I won't say it's like guaranteed, but it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. It is probably likely, and I'm saying it at number one just because I really want it. I think in the next year, AEW is All Elite confirmed, Bray Wyatt.
Oh, wow. That's not what I was thinking at all. Wow. What makes you think that it's going to happen?
I think having his most recent run, and I'm going to call it a fumble, really, in WWE, of them bringing him back, and for whatever reason, things didn't work out. It just wasn't picking up. The whole Uncle Howdy bullshit. I think that maybe it has finally come to the time where Wyndham Rotunda might be getting sick of the start and stop nature of WWE and the storytelling that he wants to tell. So maybe he's going to look for greener pastures, and maybe that is in Jacksonville, Florida.
Wow.
Maybe he should have been who you predicted goes to Hollywood.
Ooh, that would also have been a good possibility.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt's stars in a horror film.
What's interesting about your prediction is that, like, I know that there is, you know, real dirt sheet, like, rumor being like he has a health issue, which is part of why he's not been on TV. And I guess there is precedent for AEW signing wrestlers that WWE kept off TV for health issues, like in Keith Lee. I don't know what they would do with Bray Wyatt in AEW, but maybe it would be more like a normal wrestler.
I mean there's options, and of course we're all just getting into the realm of fantasy booking here, but like, yeah, for me, you're if Tony Khan, if you're giving me the book here, I think the only thing that makes sense, the only way you can do it, is to have Bray Wyatt come in and immediately try to revive the dying corpse of the Dark Order.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
They're still there. There's like three of them now. There was eight at one time. Now there's like three of them.
But yeah.
Bring him in, yeah, have him try to revive this once great faction that his late great friend spearheaded in this new company. I think that makes the most sense to me.
You know what? That's a retread that I would welcome. It makes too much sense, you know. It's great. Great. Well, then my number one, which is also, I think, a more boring number one bold
prediction. A little more grounded, or are we getting out into the stratosphere here?
I think it is audacious.
Okay.
But it is, I think it's one of those that sounds audacious, and then if you think about it for a second, you might be like, okay, that's certainly a thing. I would not be that shocked if it happened. Roman Reigns, current WWE Super Grand Universal All Forever Champion.
Tribal Chief.
Tribal Chief. Will successfully defend his title at WrestleMania.
Again.
And then we'll take a year-long sabbatical from wrestling without losing the title.
What?
I think this means that you might get a year of an interim champion.
Oh, wow.
There might be nomenclature. Maybe they just go back to one world title for
spend 1 year building up the World Heavyweight Championship without that pesky Universal belt being in the way.
Yeah. But I think it will be like, I am relinquishing the title because I'm taking a year off because there's no one left to face me.
Wow. Hmm. I mean, like, I guess I'm more puzzled of, like, the sheer audacity if they did this.
I said it was audacious, yeah.
If they were like, if again, all of the potentials of people who could have taken this belt off him, all of the potential endings to the story that we could have gotten, and the one that you were always heading to was Roman being like, well, I guess there's nobody else.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's the end of the story. I think I've been put off by the thing Paul Heyman said, where he, talking about the Bloodline storyline, was like, we're in the bottom of the third inning right now.
Oh my God, yeah, yeah.
There's still so much to tell. So I feel like the middle three kind of innings are Roman versus Cody 2, with Roman winning. Roman takes a year off. Cody wins a interim champion, Chimp.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Roman versus Cody at WrestleMania 3, like for the third time.
Yeah.
I think maybe there is when Cody wins.
Roman wins that match again. He is once again the full Universal Champion. And then he goes on another 2.5-3 year reign. Until he eventually does lose. I'm thinking just like based off the Paul Heyman statement of like, oh, we're only in the third inning. Like, if that's the case and this story still has multiple years in it, like the only logical answer is that at the end of it, Roman just retires.
maybe he does that too.
That's the only logical answer. If he's just like, and now I have completed wrestling.
I could see him retiring as champion. You know, it makes sense to me.
Wow. That is bold, though. That is interesting.
It's bold and it's sad. On that note, we're ending our bold prediction annual event. I think we'll get at least one of these right.
I think we got some possibilities. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. But we are way past our time now. We promise to be back more regularly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we have anything to plug. I had a movie go up, and I will have more information about being able to see that and other festivals you can see that at soon. So
I got nothing on my end. Andrew had a movie go up.
Yeah. Ain't no thing. I'll talk about it more in the future. So then, as always, we're going to leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare.
Yes.
If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
Yeah.
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 I don't think we've got to do that yet. That's great.
No, we haven't.
We've been waiting all summer.
You can wait for the number of yeahs you're going to get.